Good day and welcome to the Pacific Edge Interim Results Conference Call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to Dave Darling, CEO. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you and welcome to everyone. On the call with me today is Kate Rankin, our CFO, and Chris Gallagher, our new chairman. I'll talk you through the financial results and the key events for the 2017 financial year and then outline our priorities for the second half of the year. We'll have time for questions at the end. Commercial pathway. We're still in the early stages of our commercial journey. We are growing our revenues and working on building a strong platform for scale customers, which will provide value to us in the future. At this point in time, our main focus is on building our future customer base by encouraging clinicians to trial Cxbladder through user programs. During this period, we saw the completion of the recruitment of the user program for Kaiser Permanente. The Pacific Edge team in the United States has been working hard to ensure that the lab throughput has continued to grow over this half year, up 72% on 1H FY16. As customers complete their user programs, our sales team is working to convert them into commercial customers, and we're now starting to see growing sales from a number of urologists and urologist practices who were early adopters of our tests. Another key focus has been the progression through the processes required to gain access to the four transformational organizations, the Veterans Administration, TRICARE, Kaiser Permanente, and the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. Working with large federally funded organizations has been challenging, and it is very satisfying to see the successful conclusion of the VA and, on another front, the progress with Kaiser. 2016 milestones. The 2016 calendar year has been a busy and productive one for the company. Major milestones include establishing a new commercial partnership with Tolmar Australia, signing a federal supply schedule agreement, and negotiating a contract price which has allowed us to start marketing our Cxbladder tests to VA healthcare providers who cover approximately 20 million veterans and their families. Negotiating a contract price and becoming an approved provider to the TRICARE health plan network covering in excess of 9 million lives. And the positive and compelling results from our recently completed analysis of the Kaiser Permanente user program study data. This was a large blinded study and a fantastic outcome. We also had a number of other wins, particularly in New Zealand, where several large DHBs have now included our tests in their health pathways for hematuria and bladder cancer. And we also received approved cover for our tests from two private healthcare insurers. Getting Cxbladder into the standard of care and onto the clinical guidelines is a very significant outcome in any medical device. To achieve this for our molecular diagnostic test is a global first for us and significant recognition by the healthcare professionals of the contribution that Cxbladder tests make to the clinical utility for hematuria and ongoing management of bladder cancer. First year, 17 highlights. The highlights for the first half of the 2017 year were the excellent progress we are making with our identified transformational customers, an expanded product offer with the international rollout of our two new tests and a fourth test on track to be launched at the end of the year, the extended insurance cover and public healthcare uptake in New Zealand, as I have mentioned, gaining standard of care in New Zealand, two large publicly funded DHBs, and gaining guideline status as an alternative test in the AUA guidelines in the USA. That's a major milestone. Our four areas of focus remain customers, markets, products, and sales channels, and we're making good progress in all four. The United States remain our primary market and growth opportunity. After expanding our sales team in the last 12 months, we now have 18 sales executives focused on our 19 targeted sales regions. We entered into contract with the VA earlier this year and agreed a contract price giving us access to 10.2 million veterans and their families, a total of approximately 20 million lives under coverage. We've also recently been accepted as a provider and have negotiated a price with TRICARE, a separate network of healthcare providers for the active US military. This provides coverage for 9.4 million lives and is a significant addition to our commercial platform. Coverage and contracted prices with both the VA and TRICARE are key components for consideration by the CMS in awarding their local coverage decision. Our US sales team is now moving at pace and sales are starting to meet company expectations. Our primary focus is on establishing user programs as we build momentum in this market. As we've said, early adopters are now being transitioned to commercial customers and are being reimbursed by private insurance payers. And this is where most of our sales revenue comes from to date. I'd now like to take a look at each of the organizations we have identified as potential transformational customers and discuss our progress. The Veterans Administration. The VA provide health insurance for approximately 20 million US veterans and their families through its own network of clinics and hospitals. To market and sell your products to the VA, you need to be awarded a federal supply schedule, which can be a lengthy process and took us 2 years. The norm is around 2.5 years. We were delighted to have had this signed at the end of February this year. We've also negotiated a contract price and consequently been given a code which ensure access to the VA sites, ease of use, and speedy recovery of revenue. We've identified a group of large, high-volume VA clinics which our salespeople are now targeting. As with other customers, we anticipate user programs will be required before we can transition them into commercial customers. TRICARE. In October, just after the half year ended, we were pleased to enter into contract and be approved as a provider to the TRICARE Health Plan Network, which provides healthcare coverage to approximately 9.4 million beneficiaries around the world under the US military health system. As with other new customers, we'll be offering their urologist user programs and then working to transition them into commercial customers. Kaiser Permanente. Kaiser Permanente is another large organization which provides healthcare, including insurance, to more than 10 million members, roughly twice the size of New Zealand. It's a corporate entity and makes corporate decisions. One of the major achievements in the first half of FY17 was the completion of the recruitment of patients for the large blinded Kaiser Permanente user study program, the largest we have run to date. We've now completed our analysis of the data with positive and compelling findings. And whilst we still have a number of steps to go through to achieve our goal of bringing Kaiser Permanente on board as a commercial customer, we are now well progressed along this path. We are working hard to close this out and to add what could lead to a significant step change in our revenue for our business. This is not far away. CMS and other customers. We continue to follow the regulatory process to gain access to the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid. This is a lengthy process, not too dissimilar to that of the federal supply schedule, to gain reimbursement from the largest public insurer in the US. The CMS could eventually become 20% to 30% of our market. This iterative process takes some time, and pleasingly, we are well down the track on this. The achievements with the federally funded VA and TRICARE will be integral in meeting the needs of the CMS in gaining our local coverage decision, hence then enabling reimbursement. Our sales team are also continuing to target other customers, including individual urologists and large urology groups. We're also working with hospitals to gain acceptance of Cxbladder into their care pathways. Other markets. In our other markets, we commenced our partnership with Tolmar in Australia earlier this year, and their specialist sales force is working to build awareness and capitalize on existing and new user programs of our products with urologists, urology centers, and healthcare organizations. We've now established a commercial base in Singapore as our entry point to the region and announced user programs with two leading hospitals. We have also established and validated two-way supply chain logistics to collect and send samples for analysis at Pacific Edge's New Zealand laboratory. The New Zealand market has now reached a tipping point with a growing number of public and private healthcare organizations adopting our tests and increasing coverage from private insurance providers. The adoption of our products by several large public district health boards in recent months is indicative of the growing recognition of the clinical and patient benefits of our one-stop shop of Cxbladder products. Of most significance is the step change in clinical behavior to replace some of the existing tests and procedures with our accurate, cost-effective, and non-invasive non-invasive Cxbladder products, providing an increase in both patient and clinical utility. Products. We now have three products in the market, and in a world first, our tests span the clinical pathways for the evaluation of hematuria and management of bladder cancer. Nobody has ever taken on the goal of systematically working through a clinical program to make major changes in outcome. In the first half year, we completed the rollout of Cxbladder Monitor in Australia and commenced the soft launch in the United States. The full launch in the USA is timed to coincide with the upcoming publication of our scientific and clinical paper validating the superior performance of this product. You may remember that we announced the high-level numbers for that performance in May at the AUA, the American Urology Association meeting in San Diego, where a top five urologist made the presentation. We're also on track to launch our fourth test, Cxbladder Resolve, which was previously branded Predict in New Zealand at the end of this year. Product development and launch timeline. We thought it might be useful to give you a bit more detail on our launch processes and the timings. From the time that we get a working commercial prototype, we spend about 10 months developing and fine-tuning each new product, validating the laboratory processes, building the clear regulatory package, and developing marketing collateral. Our products are first launched in New Zealand, our home market, and once this has been successfully completed, we start rolling it out to our other markets, particularly the USA. We spend about 8 months preparing it for the US market launch, finalizing the commercial package, signing off on laboratory processes, which is slightly different in the US to New Zealand, and developing US-specific marketing collateral. We then commence the soft launch with a small group of targeted urologists to test the offer. We slowly build up the numbers in this group, and after about 6 months of soft launch with our initial validation customers, we then move to full commercial launch phase. This is when the test becomes commercially available to all urologists, and our sales team start actively marketing it to existing and new customers. For some of our tests, this may be new customers who have a specific interest or a need for a specific product. Launch timeline. This slide provides an overview of the timelines for our various product launches. As you can see, 2016 has been one of our busiest years yet. A key point to note here is that a new molecular diagnostic being prepared for market can take significantly more time than what we're able to achieve when we're adding new bladder cancer tests. Cxbladder Detect was launched in 2013-14 and is commercially available now in all of our markets. It drives our current revenue. Cxbladder Triage is now available in New Zealand and the US. Rollout shifted from soft launch to full commercial launch earlier in the first half. And this is a first for us, where we have two products being run through our CLIA accredited lab requiring slightly longer development and the checking of systems to meet CLIA requirements. The third product, Cxbladder Monitor, has been much quicker. Cxbladder Monitor launched in New Zealand at the end of 2015, and we will shortly be moving into the full commercial launch in the USA. Cxbladder Resolve is expected to launch in New Zealand as planned at the end of the year, and we'll follow a similar rollout to the United States. This product's on track. Sales channels. Most of our sales activity is through direct contact from our sales executives. User programs are key to the commercial adoption of our Cxbladder tests, and every user program is tailored to each individual clinician or healthcare provider and can vary in the terms of time and size. Some then transition quickly to commercial customers, others take more time, for example, Kaiser. We anticipate that new customers will, in most instances, require a user program, as this is their opportunity to test drive the technology and obtain a customized fit in their clinical pathways. And you'll notice recently that Canterbury District Health Board chose Cxbladder Triage to replace cytology in their clinical pathway, and the Waitemata District Health Board has chosen Cxbladder Monitor to be used on all of the low-risk people that are returning for a workup for recurrent disease. This will be the largest component of the patients that go through their clinic. two completely different value propositions from those two organizations. So we are continuously looking at other ways to sell and market our products, such as our online sales channel in New Zealand and our sponsorship of the bladdercancer.me patient community site, where urologists and patients alike can gain ready access to our new technology. Revenue. So how does all this activity translate into financial performance? Our first half FY17 results were consistent with previous growth and annual trends, with a softer first half year and a stronger second half year. This is mainly because of the American summer holidays in the first half year and also the impact of insurance deductibles, with most people reaching their deductible level, which is the amount that they have to pay themselves before their insurance kicks in the second half of the year. As expected, revenue in the traditionally softer first half was a significant improvement on the prior comparative first half period in 2016, the PCP. Total revenue continued to grow and was up 42% on PCP, while operating revenue was also significantly higher at $3 million, up 67%. This was, however, slightly down on the strong second half of FY16, which I'll talk about in a minute. Total laboratory throughput, which includes commercial sales as well as tests from user programs, was 5,622 for the 6 months, an increase of 72% on the PCP and 11% up on the previous second half FY16 six-month period. This reflects growing commercial sales and a focus on building the customer base with new user programs, offsetting the significant drop in test numbers following the completion of the large Kaiser Permanente user program during the half year. The volatility on total tests processed for customers trading through the user programs and transitioning into a commercial relationship can be significant. 1H16, 1H17 revenue bridge. Looking at last year's first half revenue compared to this year's, we've reported good growth in operating revenue driven by increasing commercial sales of Pacific Edge's CX Bladder tests from both existing and new customers, predominantly in the US. This doesn't yet include any contribution from any of the new scale customers, i.e. the VA or TRICARE. In addition, in the USA, growth has been driven from sales of Cxbladder Detect only, with Cxbladder Triage only becoming fully available in the USA late in the first half, and Cxbladder Monitor will become available commercially in the upcoming second half of FY17. The uptake of both of these new tests will impact positively on our test numbers going forward. Pleasingly, while a smaller market, New Zealand has delivered strong revenue growth, up 187% on last year's first half revenue, as a result of uptake by both private and public healthcare providers and increased insurance coverage. The Cxbladder Monitor test that launched in December last year has been readily snapped up and is the major point of focus by some of the large DHBs in making a significant difference in their patient and clinical utility. With the majority of our earnings being generated in the USA, the half-year results also reflect the negative impact of the stronger US dollar, with the exchange rate moving between 0.63 and 0.76 over this period. Changes to the Callaghan Innovation Growth Grant Scheme also restricted our growth grant income compared to PCP. Our revenue outlook and drivers for the second half of FY17. Looking ahead to the second half of the year, revenue is expected to ramp up in line with annual trends. In the USA, there will be less of a seasonal impact in the second half, and we expect an uplift as people reach their deductible level, as was evident last year. We'll also start to realise the benefits of having an increased product range available in the US, and we'll be continuing to transition user programs into commercial customers. In New Zealand, we expect a positive impact from the recently signed agreements with the Canterbury and Waitemata DHBs, as well as the increased private insurance coverage. In Australia, sales will start picking up as early adopters are transitioned from user programs to commercial sales, and as Tolmar continues to widen their customer base. Finally, in Singapore, we expect to make good progress initiating our first commercial customer, although this does remain very early days in the commercial rollout in Southeast Asia. Investment into growth. We are benefiting from an expanded US sales team, which has grown from 12 to 18 sales executives compared to PCP, and was the primary driver of the increase in cash expenses to $12.1 million, as well as the investment into Southeast Asia and ongoing product development. A one-off non-cash expense of $2.9 million in relation to the wind-up of the employee incentive scheme was also included in total operating expenses of $15.1 million. Revenue is outgrowing expenses, with total revenue up 42% compared to an increase in expenses of 26%. Overall, Pacific Edge reported an $11.3 million loss for the half-year period, in line with management's expectations. Funding for growth. Net operating cash flow of $9.1 million was at a similar level to the previous 2 6-month periods, with a 232% increase in receipts from revenue and grant income compared to the first half of FY16, offsetting the higher first half FY17 expenses. As at 30 September 2016, Pacific Edge had cash and cash equivalents of $14.6 million and receivables of $6.4 million and payables of $2 million. Slide 20, looking forward, our priorities for 2H FY17. Looking forward, the United States remains our primary opportunity, as well as other targeted markets being New Zealand, Australia and Southeast Asia. We expect to launch our fourth product, Cxbladder Resolve, to the market at the end of the year, with an initial launch in New Zealand, followed by a rollout to our targeted markets. This will be another global first, as no other company will have four proprietary molecular tests in any one cancer. In the United States, Cxbladder Monitor is expected to move from soft launch to full-scale commercial launch in the third quarter of this financial year. Achievement of our financial goals is dependent on the acceptance and the rate of uptake by the large US healthcare organizations that we have identified as transformational customers. Their decision to accept and adopt a new product for clinical use can be a lengthy process and outside of our direct control. However, it is great to see our success with both the VA and TRICARE, now for Kaiser and the CMS. We are well advanced in our commercial progress with these organizations, and we are working closely with these organizations to gain acceptance, initiate reimbursement coverage, and build our sales. While this has taken longer than we originally anticipated, each one of these could result in a quantum leap in sales revenue as we bring them on board as commercial customers. We're seeing a steady increase in customer numbers and have a growing number of clinicians trialing and using our products through user programs, which is an essential part of the clinical adoption cycle. We expect to report a strong second half uplift in line with annual trends, and as more customers take advantage of the wider range of Cxbladder tests available in the USA. Cxbladder now dominates the clinical pathways. Our products now dominate in both the hematuria evaluation and the ongoing management of bladder cancer, and we remain the only company in the world to have three products serving multiple clinical needs across the hematuria and bladder cancer pathways, soon to be four. This provides a significant competitive advantage for our company. We are very well positioned for continued growth with increasing product recognition, increasing clinical validation and adoption by large customers in our targeted markets, and more importantly, increasing revenue growth. Thank you very much for listening. We're now happy to answer any questions you may have. Operator, I'll now pass this back to you.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, press star 1 to ask a question. We'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal for questions. We'll take our first question from Chelsea Leadbetter at Forsyth Barr. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Thanks, moderator, and morning, guys. A couple of questions for me, if I can start with the sort of cost expectations for the second half, and can you give a bit of an update on what you're thinking around the Salesforce numbers and how we should be thinking about that for sort of the second half and also in FY18?
Sure, thanks, Chelsea. Good question. We're already seeing a reduction in our monthly burn. We're down about $300,000 per month at this present point in time over what we spent in the first half of the year. This is largely driven by the big expenditures that we have in our ongoing offshore clinical programs and studies. And as we go forward into the market, we anticipate in the immediate future maintaining pretty much the same number of salespeople in our team. There may well be an addition of an extra one that will be focusing on the VA and on TRICARE, a specialist sales executive. And so the investment into the selling in the organization remains around about that same. We'll revisit that as we bring Kaiser on board and some of the other larger customers. Many of these larger customers don't require the same intensity of management from a sales executive's perspective. So that's a big bonus when we look at the cost of sales.
Okay, thank you. And then from that perspective, how comfortable are you with the current cash levels in the business?
We're very comfortable with the cash levels in the business. We have at the half year $14.6 million in the bank, $6.4 million in receivables, $2 million in payables. There's approximately $19 to $20 million worth of cash available to the company, which will take us forward around 15 months worth of trading.
Without any incremental sales from these transformational customers.
Yeah, that's thank you, Chris. It was a comment from Chris. Just saying that that's if you don't have any contribution from the existing, the planned transformational customers.
Okay. And just lastly, looking at the lab throughput numbers, are you able to give any sort of indications of the mix between commercial and user programs and sort of how that's evolved over the last couple of years?
We can't really give you any specifics. Real reason for that is that if we enable those commercial numbers to be pulled out at this point in time, we seriously hamper our commercial negotiations with people like Kaiser and the CMS, et cetera. So as what we see is it shifts around a fair bit, Chelsea, depending on how big the user program is and how many of them are coming through at any one time. In the US, we've been driving hard over the last 6 months to add a lot of user programs to the bottom line, and this was in anticipation that we would have these a contribution from these larger companies coming through a little earlier, and therefore enabling us to slacken off a little bit on our drive and on cash or reapportion those resources to building out the customer base, which is where we've been focusing our time and energy.
Okay, thank you very much.
We will now take our next question from Greg Main at First NZ Capital. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Good morning.
Hi, Greg.
Just a question on cost again. Obviously, when looking at your cost structure at the moment, can you say how much of it is actually denominated in the US and therefore US dollar denominated?
A significant proportion of our, we can't give you an exact number, a significant proportion of our investment is US denominated. The largest investments we make are in human capital, followed by our clinical studies, followed by our investments in patents. It's a significant chunk. I don't have the exact numbers sitting in front of me, Greg. I'm sorry. I could follow up with you on that at a later stage if you like.
Okay, and then just on that user trial type thing, I mean, if you're talking about the VA, some of the larger facilities there will go through user trials. Obviously, you just kind of completed the Kaiser one, but there's, I mean, how should we kind of think about that combination of user trials going forward when you are trying to sell into some of these larger players, plus you've still got new products coming to market? So, are you still going to be spending quite a lot on, I guess you'd say, that part of expenditure?
It's kind of made up of several parts. You know, if you look at the progression of the products, you know, we definitely will see a reduction over time in the number of user programs. If you see what happened in New Zealand with the launch of Cxbladder Monitor, you'll see that that product was taken up very quickly by people without a user program. Wightamatter did not do a user program. So they had a lot of faith, and that's primarily because they'd done user programs in Cxbladder Detect and Cxbladder Triage. Okay, so we expect those guys now to cycle back and pick up Triage and pick up Detect as they work out exactly where to put them into their program. So in the US, if we go to the large VA centers, we really don't have an exact number on the size and scale of any of these user programs. Some will definitely not require a user program, but we expect the majority of them will. They can vary from, you know, 25 tests through to 150 tests. The Kaiser program was an extremely large one, and it took a lot of time to recruit it. And then, as you'll know, from the time we finished recruitment at the end of April through to just recently when we announced the results, it was all in cleaning data and analyzing the data. And that was done in a blinded fashion, which slowed it up a little bit as well. So, yeah, I mean, the amount of energy, effort, and hence cost that you put into is extremely variable. But you are having people transition from those user programs at an ever-increasing rate. And the whole feeling for the test and the tests and the technology itself is gaining momentum every day. And that's evidenced by the recent announcement of Cxbladder being put into the AUA guidelines. Now, in New Zealand, people may not recognize the impact of being in the AUA clinical guidelines in an organization such as the AUA. It's the AUA SUO guidelines, one of two sets of guidelines that urologists use. And Cxbladder has now made it in there as an alternate test. It's a huge milestone. So that has big impact on organizations recognizing the test and recognizing the technology and hence not needing to run user programs to get going.
Okay.
I hope that helps you.
Yeah, no. And then just a question on your receivables. Obviously, you know, that keeps sort of drifting upwards. I mean, how much of that sort of relates to obviously the CMS reimbursement sort of question, whereby you're obviously paying for reimbursement and then you've got to follow up with insurance companies or with private individuals, et cetera. I mean, obviously you've got that on the account, so you're comfortable that it's recoverable. But I mean, is there sort of questions around how recoverable it could be, or what sort of time frame you might be able to recover some of that money from?
Yeah, sure. Kate can follow on with some any extra details. Generally, the receivables from the CMS do form a significant and growing component. We do write off components of that on a monthly basis as they become aged. So that shifts around, but we don't have any problem with, and of course this is an audited process, we don't have any problem with those being recovered. So we're very comfortable in the process. It just takes a long time with that money. One of the biggest drivers there, Greg, is getting coverage by the CMS. The CMS generally creates a drag on all of your transactions, even with the private insurance companies, and that can add months to your cycle time for your invoices.
Okay, that's all for me. Thank you.
If you find that your question has been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. We will now take our next question from Andrew Mortimer from Eastbourne Advisory. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, guys. Actually, my main question has been pretty well answered as regards to the funding, but just a couple of follow-ons. Resolve, is that actually just a rebrand of the previous product, and why does it need to be relaunched? The next question is, any perceived impact of the Trumpster being in now in the States? And the third question is, as regards the publication of the paper jointly with Kaiser Permanente, what might be the expected time frame for that? And that, is that a prerequisite for commercialization, if you don't mind?
Thanks, Andrew. I'll just answer that last one first. the Cxbladder Monitor scientific publication, I mean, the results we announced were outstanding results, and we've written two manuscripts, and they've been submitted to two separate journals. The first of those is all set to clear, and we expect that to occur fairly soon. It's very important in the United States, and it's probably less important in New Zealand to launch with that those credentials of having a peer-reviewed science publication. In our particular case, the statements and the comments that are made in those papers are very poignant. They're very strongly worded because of the superior performance that that test provides. So they will make a big impact and have a big impact on the commercial launch, and we've tied that in, of course, directly to the commercial launch. Back to Resolve. Resolve is a rebranded name, and it's really just to reflect the final commercial and clinical positioning of that product. So that product is designed to pull out all of the high-grade, late-stage tumours, and the results are very, very powerful. Once again, it's another lovely product. And so if you come into a urologist's workup, they take a urine sample, we can now use Triage Detect and Resolve on that urine sample and segregate the patient into a number of classes. Either the class have been completely ruled out and then there's no further workup, which is a huge relief to the patient and of significant commercial clinical value to the urologist. Secondly, to identifying those people who have high-grade late-stage tumours who are in need of a rapid workup and can be segregated out. This is something that they've not been able to do unless they've invaded the person. And then thirdly, those people who fall into the low-grade tumours that can be worked on with the conventional workups. And so that is a huge change around in the layup of the clinical pathway. So Resolve adds a whole new dimension to the back end of that, and it's really about the increased clinical resolution, hence Resolve, that you gain from using these products, firstly Triage at one end and Resolve at the far end. And the third question was the Trumpster. I guess we all have our own particular perspectives on that, and certainly our team in the United States do, but it's had already a big positive impact in the medical devices arena. The comments by Trump to repeal parts of Obamacare, which kind of slowed up and stagnated the overall healthcare cycle, was very important. Hillary had a big negative impact on life science companies prior to the election, where she had stated it was one of her goals to lower the cost of drugs to healthcare patients. That led to a mass migration of dollars out of those life science companies. And then Trump himself has also appears to be getting in strongly behind the MACRA Act, which is all about value transition for healthcare. And thirdly, it looks like he will cease the pressure, I guess, coming through on the FDA to take an oversight over CLIA and the regulatory environment that our tests operate under. And that was something that FDA had been gearing themselves up to for some time, and it had been meeting a lot of resistance in the industry. So Trump has definitely come out and said that the FDA just ceased overnight any activity in that arena. So that's been a very, very positively regarded by the healthcare industry, and in particular the medical device industry.
Okay. Thanks, guys. That's all from me.
Once again, if you'd like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. We will now take our next question from Andrew Ott at the Forsyth Bar. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Good morning, gentlemen. Just a question on Kaiser. If you assume that they are, well, if they do, say, adopt the Triage test that they've been evaluating, can you speculate on whether they would then also move on and use Detect and Monitor, and whether that would be another drawn-out lengthy process with further trials and user programs on those, or do you think they would just quietly adopt those?
Thanks, Andrew. That's a very good question. What started out with Kaiser Permanente was a strong desire to use Triage to pull out people who they'd rather not or need to invest a lot of money in the workup of the hematuria, quickly turned into a desire to evaluate both triage and detect. And in the study that we just completed, we did in fact run the data on triage, detect and resolve. So that now they have all of the data, and that was all done in a blinded fashion. So a huge upside for the company. And of course, subsequent to that, in a completely different sphere, is the monitoring for recurrence. Now that test works very similarly in style to the sex bladder triage test, i.e. all those people who come in who have bladder cancer are coming in on this long-winded, ever-repeating evaluation with cystoscopy. They want to be able to rule out those people that don't need to be worked up. And so they've clearly indicated their desire to use the same type of test in the same sort of fashion to rule those people out. That's likely to require some form of validation, but it's unlikely to be a trial of that significance, particularly given the amount of data that they now have on three of our products. It's an overwhelming outcome for them. We're absolutely chuffed in how that's come out.
Thank you for that. Can you tell me how many patients there were and how many tests were done in their trial?
Sure. Well, actually, no, I won't talk about it. It's still confidential to the study. So when the study comes out, it'll be all exposed, Andrew. That's probably the best way to describe it. It was a tremendous effort from, well, both parties really, but they did all of the kind of ramp up of the recruitment. And it gave us a pretty good idea as to the kind of the number of people passing through that organisation. And it's a frightening number. You know, they see and do some degree of workup on well over a couple of 100,000 patients. And then, you know, they do an increasing level of workup on patients in a concatenated way. So something like 138,000 down to around 60,000 and then down to around 30,000 patients. So, you know, the decision point for those guys will be where do they best deploy the triage and detect products? You know, what point will make the best clinical and patient outcome for them? And so they'll be, you know, they will have already been working on that and thinking about that. And they've had those results for a couple of weeks now. So you know, we expect to catch up with them fairly soon in early December and progress that through the system.
That's good. Thank you very much for that.
Thank you.
It appears there are no further questions at this time. David, I'd like to turn the conference back to you for any additional or closing remarks.
Thanks very much, operator. Thank you, everyone.
Forgive me. We've just had another question from Andrew Bolland at Salt Funds Management.
Okay, thank you.
Please go ahead. Your line
thanks,
is open.
Just one from me. Thanks, Dave. Just one question from me. Can you just clarify how CX products are currently reflected in the AUA guidelines and, you know, whether there's the possibility for further inclusion or sort of how that progresses from here? Cheers.
Yeah, sure, Andrew. Thank you. That's a very good question. It was quite a surprise to us. The AUA guidelines their review is based around the clinical merit, and that's measured by the quality of your peer-reviewed science publications. And it then comes down to, I guess, the wave of clinical utility that others are finding throughout the process, and it builds to a point where they review these products and they can progressively add them into the guidelines. So in our case, they've added in CX Bladder. Effectively, CX Bladder Detect. It's based on the CX Bladder Detect data from the original publication in 2012. And as you know, there's been several other publications since then on the new products that have, you know, far superior performance in their targeted clinical end-use applications. So the general word that we've had from a couple of the reviewers for the AUA guidelines is that they do expect to see a greater and more strongly worded application of CX Bladder in the guidelines. So we're looking forward to seeing that.
Sure, thanks. And presumably that would sort of go towards urologist adoption of CX products as well, you'd expect.
Yes, it's a big driver of private insurance company contract process. It's, if you're in the guidelines, it's almost mandatory for those insurance companies to sign you up on contract. It's your kind of corner, it's your go-to cornerstone physician. So a very, very important part of the overall process. Generally, it can take you a number of years. And if you look at our data and the amount of time that we've been in the market, that's the momentum that you need. And that's the window of time that you need to gain that, that precious commodity of being included into the, to the guidelines. So yes, it does. And it will pay back positively for us. It's just up to us now to leverage it.
Cool. That's great. Cheers.
Thanks, Andrew.
There are no further questions at this time.
Thanks, everybody, for the time taken to come along today and listen to us. It's been a great year for us, first half of the year. We are looking forward and we're delighted with the momentum of our products and how we, and our overall success globally. We're in a very unique position. As we've stated, we're the only company in the world now to have systematically pulled apart one of these clinical pathways and added in what will soon be four products. So we're looking forward to a very bright future, and thank you very much for being part of that. Thanks, guys.